Tom Cargill in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be clouds and sun, a little cooler, high near 71 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it's 59, Burlington 60, Milwaukee 67, 65 at this hour in Racine. The Racine man who phoned in a bomb threat last October that closed the Racine County Courthouse for half a day has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Racine Circuit Court Judge Eugene Gasukevich also giving 46-year-old Lee Lucas another year of extended supervision. Lucas pleading no contest to a charge of making a bomb scare, while charges of telephone harassment and disorderly conduct were dismissed. Lucas telling investigators he called in that threat, trying to stop an eviction hearing for a woman he claimed to be intimate with. Because of that threat, the courthouse was evacuated and remained closed until late in the afternoon. The Kenosha County District Attorney's Office says 35-year-old Jason Reed may have committed the largest number of sexual assaults in county history. And while not convicted of all, he will spend 18 years in prison. Judge Chad Kirkman giving Reed 15 years of extended supervision once he's released. Reed pleading guilty to 3 counts of second-degree sexual assault and 1 count of child enticement. Several other charges dismissed under the plea agreement, which Assistant DA Thomas Binger said saved the victims, ranging in ages from 17 to their 40s, from the ordeal of testifying in court. Binger also noting many more victims likely have not come forward. More and more law enforcement agencies offering active shooter scenario testing for the training of officers as well as representatives of government, business, and the community. Racine County Board Vice Chair Pamela Zenner Richards mentioning one of those going to be coming up at the Eyesgrove office complex in the near term.
Late last month, I attended a security review of the Eyesgrove complex, and one of the purposes of that review was in preparation for active shooter training. We will be holding that at a future date, sometime during the day, and the supervisors will all be invited to it if you can make it.
Zenner Richards, having already been through it with the exercise at the Dennis Cornwolf building on Taylor Avenue, suggested to her colleagues it is eye-opening, if nothing else. No specific date mentioned for that situation at the Eyesgrove complex. New survey out from Marquette University's law school shows growing support for legalizing marijuana here in Wisconsin. State Representative Melissa Sargent says it's time to accept reality. The Madison Democrat indicating those fighting the effort, claiming to be waiting on how legalized pot's affecting Colorado, they're just kind of dodging the issue.
We've been watching what happened in Colorado, and certainly Colorado has smoothed the edges, and Washington and Oregon and Alaska and, you know, many other states are moving down the path towards full legalization.
The Marquette Law School poll indicated 59% of the respondents support full legalization and regulation of marijuana, just like alcohol. Federal legislation changing how the Veterans Affairs medical system handles pain management practices now on its way to the president's desk after clearing the U.S. Senate earlier this week, a measure resulting from a tragic case in Wisconsin. Senator Tammy Baldwin says it's a big step forward in addressing problems that led to the death of at least one veteran at the Tomah VA Medical Center.
The Jason Simkoski Memorial Opioid Safety Act is a big step, and seeing it effectively implemented to make sure that every veteran is getting the attention and safe and effective treatment for their pain, if that's what they present with. Seeing that through is so important.
Jason Simkoski was a Marine who died at the Tomah VA Center from drug toxicity with several prescribed medications. Racine's long history of being an industrial community continues to be felt with the need to clean up contaminated land the city owns for possible future redevelopment, what are called brownfields, and with different locations having different priorities. During the Redevelopment Authority meeting this week, City Development Director Amy Connolly got into what seemed to be the current priorities, starting with the former Racine Steel casting site, which has already received a number of grants from EPA and through the state.
There's always opportunities for us to apply for more grants. There are always opportunities for us to ready projects for grant funding, and we'd just like to make sure that we're working in tandem with the RDA and the elected officials to make sure that the projects that should be in the pipeline or in the pipeline at all times.
Connolly noting Machinery Row and its connected projects along the Root River get high ranking after RSC. She also mentioned Uptown within the top five, a comprehensive plan now starting to unfold with projects like the Veterans Housing Effort among the first trying to revitalize that area. RDA Chairman Jim Spangenberg, though the former alderman, urged development officials to prioritize West Racine now because of shrinking retail and despite good housing stock. In Kenosha, a proposed change in the city's capital improvement budget to pay for dredging of the Lincoln Park Lagoon won the approval this week of the city's Stormwater Utility Committee. Public Works Director Shelley Billingsley telling the panel that a DNR permit would be needed, and because of testing that was done, the project is going to cost a little bit more than the original estimate.
A few years ago, they changed the dredging rules for detention ponds. If it has an area of concern, the dredging material has to be sampled and, according to the sampling results, be disposed of according to the waste characterization. With the waste characterization and the sample results from the dredging, we will have to take it to a licensed landfill.
It's hoped the DNR will issue the permit in early August, which would include just when the dredging can take place. She said it's possible the project won't begin, though, until next spring. It's believed the Lincoln Park Lagoon has not been dredged since back in the 70s, even though there could have been some partial efforts since then. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave announcing the Workforce Solutions Center on Taylor Avenue is going to share in a $4 million work IT grant to provide information technology training for young adults throughout southeast Wisconsin. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
The grant was awarded to a partnership of seven counties in southeast Wisconsin, representing three workforce development areas. The Southeastern Wisconsin Workforce Development Board, which serves Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, will receive $1 million over the next 4 years to train 17 to 29-year-olds with various barriers to employment in advanced manufacturing, healthcare, and information technology. Gateway Technical College, the local training provider, will partner to provide classes in IT-related specialties. Additionally, numerous business associations and over 40 individual businesses have agreed to support the initiative. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
The Wisconsin Humane Society appears ready to start moving on a new location in Racine County. A zoning public hearing is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. next Tuesday at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall on a petition to rezone almost 5 acres at the northeast corner of 90th and 16th Streets for the construction of a 16,000-square-foot animal shelter facility. It'll replace the smaller existing building on Chicory Road, which WHS inherited with the exit of Countryside Humane Society. The Village Plan Commission has the same rezoning request on its meeting agenda next Wednesday afternoon. Also at the Tuesday night zoning public hearing, the much-talked-about proposed changes on where boats and trailers and other vehicles can be parked on residential properties and proposed changes to structure setbacks. While the Racine Unified School District is just weeks away now from opening up two newly constructed elementary schools and a middle school addition, the Board of Education this week started talking about future facilities and the criteria to consider in maybe closing some buildings because of student population and programming needs. Board Vice President Dennis Weiser, based on past experience, told his colleagues and staff, be generic with any examples.
What to do in terms of long-term building strategies is something a board should look at regularly. We have to be very careful discussing this because rumors get started real easily. So if you want to talk about what if we closed a school, what if we closed two schools and combined them into a third school or some such ideas, please try to just say school A and school B so we don't mention a specific name and that gets into the grapevine inappropriately and all of a sudden there's a panic right before the start of school.
Superintendent Lolly Hawes noted enrollment has declined almost 700 students in her time with the district and it cost money to take care of the almost 36 buildings now in use. There was no reference to a school A or B and maybe closing buildings or combining programs at different locations, just some general discussion about how to approach the issue in the future. And a couple of road projects set to go in Pleasant Prairie as of next Monday. The DOT says one involves the resurfacing of Highway 165 from the interstate to Highway 31. This will include, though, expansion of the roadway from 2 to 4 lanes between Corporate Drive and Turwall Terrace. That'll mean a new bridge over the Des Plaines River. The existing bridge there, covering the 2 lanes that are there now, That'll receive a new polymer coating to expand its useful lifetime. The work demeans single-lane closures in both directions for the long term, an $8.2 million project targeted to wrap up next summer. And work to begin also on Monday on replacing a water main underneath 91st Street in Prairie. This is between Sheridan Road and the Union Pacific tracks. That work to reduce the road to a single lane. Temporary traffic signals going to be installed at both ends of that project area. That'll go about a week. WRJN.com is our webpage where we keep our local newscasts in the local news section, ironically. Also at WRJN News, that is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.